Perhaps the greatest treasure on this earth and one of the only things that will survive this life is human relationships, old friends. We are indeed rich if we have friends. Friends who have loved us through the problems, heartaches, and reversals of life. Deep, true, joyful friendships. Life is just too short and eternity too long to live without old friends.
Each week here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. Now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Well, hello and thank you for inviting me home this beautiful Sunday morning. This is Reverend Tommy Bounce. I'm glad I'm able to come to your home with a beautiful message of Something to Believe In. We've been doing this for many years, but we never get tired of preaching the gospel. The gospel is the only thing that will set us free. And I'm glad I'm free from sin. And thank God I've got a lot to be proud of. I'm thankful for you. I appreciate you. I hope that you're there listening this morning, because without you, it would be impossible for me to keep going here on this radio ministry. But I'm glad for you, so I hope that you are listening this morning. Well, let's get right into our broadcast by doing this song here for you. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me.
One glorious day, Jesus came and He made me whole. He spoke completely and satisfied my soul. Now as I face life's dark, stormy troubles, I wonder if He is satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what He'd have it be. And when I come to that great eternity, His smile will say He is satisfied with me. I'm satisfied with God's great redemption plan. I'm satisfied that it's sufficient for all men. I'm satisfied with His work on Calvary. But is my Lord fully satisfied with me? Lord, give me strength, give me courage, make me bold, that I might lead some lost soul into the fold, that I won't be unafraid of.
I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I remember a man said one day, he said, well, what if God is wrong? I said, well, God is never wrong. God is always right. He said, let every man be a liar, but I'll always be the truth. I stand for the truth, and I'm glad that I can present to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that's the only thing that set us free. I remember Doris Neely this morning. Doris, I appreciate the offer you sent me here a few weeks back. I'm glad you hope you're doing real well. You've been in the hospital, I understand, and I appreciate you. Doris and Arm have been great friends of mine for a long time, and I've got a lot of friends out there, people who have paid and prayed to keep this radio ministry going. So I appreciate you. I'm going to do this next recitation just for you, and I want you to give a listen to.
As I stood beside the bedside of the one I love so dear, my sorrow was lifted by words that I still hear. Her hands, they make a gesture. Her voice was so very weak. She motioned me closer, then she starts to speak. Oh, I want you to miss me, in a way, I suppose. But just don't worry, the time comes and goes. We'll have a great reunion, and oh, what a thrill. When we cross that final homecoming, just beyond that last hill. Let the hand of death beckon. Well, I'm not afraid. The victory is mine over death and the grave. I've lived for the Master. I've walked in His will. I'm ready to meet Him just beyond the last hill. I've served Him with patience, like He told me to do. And in spite of all my trials, I've always been true. Well, it's just about over, and I know it's His will. And I can see the last sunset just beyond the last hill. But that last hill is nothing with the Lord by my side. Just a few steps together, then my soul will take its flight. Already the angels are circling my bed, and the great light is shining just over my head. And I sense the death angel, but I have no fear. For music from heaven already I hear. So don't weep for me, dear children, when my body lies still. For heaven is just yonder, just beyond the last hill. Now who's that coming to meet me in a robe white as snow? Why, I think it's Jesus, and I'm so anxious to go. There's a voice sweetly calling, and I bend to His will. Now the sun's going down, just beyond the last hill. Now, what's that He's saying? Oh, could I be insane? Why, He's holding a crown, and He's calling my name. Oh, my heart leaps with gladness. My soul does it thrill. For I've made my last journey. I've climbed my last hill.
Yes, sir, I've made my last journey. I've climbed my last hill. I do that in honor of Arvin, who passed away, and Martha, who is gone. A lot of people who we knew have done passed on, but they're not out of our mind. Martha's been gone almost a year, and Arvin, I don't know exactly when he passed away, but Doris, we're always thinking of you. Hope you're doing good. I hope that Bob and Alicia's doing good, and Louise and James and Ernie and Betty Joe. And I talked with my good friend Barry Harper, him and his wife, they're doing fair. So you just continue to pray for these people, because they are great people. They've held up my hands for many years and helped me here on this ministry, and I couldn't make it without them. So I appreciate you, and you are in my prayers, and I hope that you are continuing to pray for me. Let's do this song right here now. Today I saw some old friends that I used to know. Now when they ask me what has happened, I try to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Tears flows down my face, I try to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore.
behind the door. I said, boys, you don't have to run and hide from your daddy now, because you see, you got a brand new daddy now. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And as a tear flows down my face, I try to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary.
Romans chapter 6. Now, you may not know who this man is, but he was a German theologian. He lived back in the 20s, born in the 20s. He went to seminar in the 30s, died in the 40s. But Mr. Bonhoeffer was challenged by Hitler and the regime there and the war and all that was going on. He was involved in the Holocaust, involved with the dying of the Jews because of their faith in Christ. And Mr. Bonhoeffer was challenged with a thing called cheap grace. And Mr. Bonhoeffer, he stated in his memoirs and stated in his theological position that I do not accept cheap grace. I condemn cheap grace. Now, I don't know about you, but that don't sell it with me. I'm a kind of a person that when a statement is made like that, I am challenged to find out why. Why did Mr. Bonhoeffer would even make a statement like that, that grace is not cheap. And I condemn those who says it's cheap. Well, I could place him back there with Paul when he had the thorn in the flesh, and I could say, well, Paul found out that grace was really sufficient. Well, this morning we're going to look at this cheap grace, and we're going to find out just how sufficient it really is. And in Romans chapter 6, I want you to read with me if you have your Bibles. Follow with me if you don't. What shall we say then in verse 1? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were also baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in his likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Boy, that would preach. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Big question mark. Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Father, your word to your people, and all God's people said it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me give you some information here about this Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The first statement that he made was he spoke out urging his fellow Lutherans, which that's what he was a Lutheran, to reject the idolatry of the Nazis, claiming that the Führer and the state deserved more allegiance than even God. Now, that was a situation that Bonhoeffer was brought into at a very early age. Bonhoeffer also condemned Nazi persecution. He condemned the persecution of the Jew, urging the Christian church to stand with the Jew and all of the victims. He also helped some of the Jews to escape the Nazi concentration camps. Early in his influential book that he wrote was called The Cost of Discipleship, Bonhoeffer had condemned what he called cheap grace, accepting God's love without cost. At the same time, he extolled costly grace, grace that requires radical obedience, even the willingness to die for one's belief, which Bonhoeffer will soon do. Less than a month before the war in Europe ended, the Nazis moved him from prison to prison, from concentration camp to concentration camp, and on April the 9th, 1945, hanged him at the age of 39 years old. Cheap grace? I wondered why that they called it cheap grace. And I began to explore the scriptures, and I began to explore the scriptures simply due to the fact that who would ever think that grace is cheap? Bonhoeffer made another statement. He said, preaching of the forgiveness without requirement of repentance would truly be cheap grace. John the Baptist came from the mountainside, had lived on locust, weed, and wild honey, wrapped in skins or camel hair, if you please. His message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus came on the scene, the message was, repent. And you know, today, we don't preach too much on repentance. We don't preach that a man must repent to be born again. Repentance seems to be the lost message of the church today. We grow up in a church. We begin as a little child. We come to an age of accountability. We move on up in the ranks, and then we become a full member of the church. We become baptized into the church. We become a member of the church. But have we really become a born-again child of God and a member of the body of Christ? To say that salvation can come without repentance would truly say that grace is cheap. Because Ephesians 2:8, Paul made it very obvious, for by grace are you saved. By faith are you saved through grace. That not of yourself that any should boast, but freely the gift of God. And that's what Paul is saying, and that's what Mr. Bonhoeffer is saying. To think that you can get saved without repentance would truly be accepting cheap grace. And he condemned that. And the Bible condemned that. That's why we begin this verse in chapter 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, Paul is saying, if we can get saved that way, then we don't need God's grace. God's grace is not really sufficient to save us anyhow. But without the grace of Almighty God, no one of us could be saved today. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. An old boy went to a revival meeting, and the preacher got up and he said, I'm going to preach on John 3:16. For by grace are you saved. On Tuesday night, he said, I'm going to preach on John 3:16. For by grace are you saved. Wednesday night, he got up and he said, I'm going to preach on John 3:16. For by grace are you saved. Thursday night, the evangelist got up and said, I'm going to preach on John 3:16. For by grace are you saved. He goes down the street. A man asked him, said, are you attending that revival? Been there every night. He said, well, how's it going? He said, well, it's all right. But he said, there's something wrong with that evangelist. Every night, he picks the same verse and preaches the same sermon. And he preaches on John 3:16 and the grace of God. Well, he goes back on Friday night. That night, God got a hold of his heartstrings. Pulled him to the altar. God saved him, amazingly. He goes back on a Saturday night. The preacher got up. He said, God sent me here for a purpose. And he said, I preached every night on John 3:16 in the grace of God. But he said, now we've come to the close of the revival, and I feel we've had great accomplishments. I don't know what to preach on. The old boy stood up in the back of the church and said, preach on 3:16, the grace of God, because that's what saved my soul. I'm not too intelligent.
The old house I'm living in, well, it's need repair. The windows and the shutters letting in the cold, cold air. Well, I say to myself, I need to fix them. When I can get some time, but all I've been getting lately is leaving all my mind. Lately all I've got is leaving all my mind. You know, it seems that's all soon, and very soon I'll leave this old world, oh, so far behind. And lately I've got leaving.
You know, so many people, they say, why don't you get out of there and go find you a better place to live? Oh, but I just can't seem to get excited about this old world and what it's got to give. I couldn't care less if I could buy it all with a solitary dime. Oh, what good would a world do me with this leaving on my mind? Lately, all I've got is leaving on my mind. You know, that's all that I've been thinking about most of the time. How that soon
we never know. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after death, the judgment. Are you ready to meet God? If you would die in your sleep tonight or died last night, are you prepared to meet God? Well, let's get prepared. Father, we thank you. We ask your forgiveness for our sins, Lord. I know that we commit sins every day. Every day we sin against you, probably, Father, but we ask forgiveness before we go to bed at night. And Father, I pray that you will forgive us. We don't willfully sin against you, but Lord, we just sin with our mouth, with our eyes, with our ears, with our feet, with our hands. There's so many ways that we can sin against you. But Father, I hope today that I've been able to lift you up above every crime, every violence, every sin that there is. Lord, I pray for that one right now that's wanting to be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, neighbor, it has been good to be with you today. I hope that you've enjoyed today's broadcast as much as I've enjoyed putting it on for you. I hope that you're going to continue with me this year and continue to pray and help me along the way. You can write to me, Reverend Tommy Mounts, Box 2642, Meadows Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Again, that's Reverend Tommy Mounts, Box 2642, Meadows Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
God still loves you, and he holds you in his hand. He invites you, cast your cares upon him.